Welcome to another song title challenge where the question is, climbers, how should you write this one? This is a little pull-out episode that we do every other week where Brent and I invite a legendary hit songwriter onto the podcast. Climbers send in their song titles to info@daredevilproduction.com. Production is singular. There is no S. Once again, daredevilproduction.com. info@daredevilproduction.com. And then we spring the title live on the podcast here to our guest and to Brent and to myself. I mean, I got a little bit of a head start, but not much because I kind of pull it right out of the thing. By the way, you got to put song title challenge or STC on the subject line to make sure that it gets into the right folder. Okay. If you don't, it won't. That way, you know, I save them all. And then when it's time to record these, I go back in and pull them out. This is a fun creative exercise. It's not a co-write in any way, shape, or form. It's just a way to have some access and see how hit songwriters think when they're crafting out five or six different conceptual angles for a song title. Because sometimes it's the first thing you think of, but most of the time it's not. Most of the time you got to dig down through the gold and through the bronze to get to the platinum, right?
That's right.
To get to that good stuff, or through the gold and the platinum to get to the diamond, the 10 million buzz selling hit. So it's a fun, like I said, fun creative exercise. The only thing we demand in return is a invite to the number one party, right? Mm-hmm. And this is a great way, Brent, you've done this now, and this is a fantastic way to breathe new life into your old hooks. If you go back through your hook book and do this exercise, which should be about 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, then all of a sudden, what's in your brain is an old sort of wilted piece of lettuce hook that, you know, for whatever reason, it didn't get the attention it deserved right after it had all that energy that was necessary to put it in the hook book to begin with.
Right.
You know, you didn't get to it in time and all of a sudden it feels old. Well, it's not old. Don't abandon those hooks. They're good. Right. Brent, you've gotten some cuts out of that, right?
Well, heck yeah. I mean, I have a single coming out tomorrow on a Southern gospel artist tomorrow at the time of this recording that, was in the 3000s, early 3000s of my titles out of like over 4000 on my hook book. So, you know, it's like 1,000 titles back. And I wrote it, you know, within the past year with a Southern gospel artist, and they're supposed to release it tomorrow as a single. So, yeah, man, that stuff has been getting me results. So, I mean, it's something I incorporate in my normal part of doing business is just go through those old titles and see if there's something there. So I don't just do it for the show.
There you go.
I do it for the bank account.
You do it for the bank. So look, I mean, in the business world, the money is in the list, and your list is that hook book. In the hillbilly world, right, we say there's gold in them narios.
That's right.
Yeah, there's gold in that book. So why don't you introduce our guest? I mean, we don't have enough time on this podcast to go through all the freaking accolades. This guy's a monster.
Yeah, so we're just going to do a shortened one. Today's guest has cuts including Blake Shelton's number one hit, Doing What She Likes, and George Strait's 60th number one, Give It All We Got Tonight. He's also had cuts by, and this is a very abbreviated list, Darius Rucker, Montgomery Gentry, Joe Diffie, Clay Walker, Daryl Worley, Justin Moore, Scotty McQuarrie, Brad Paisley, Trace Adkins, Chris Jansen, Gord Bamford, Tracy Byrd, Travis Tritt, Gretchen Wilson, Randy Travis, Sammy Kershaw, and many more. Seriously, I cut stuff out. In addition to having a successful career as a songwriter, today's guest also has served as a producer, a successful producer. Among his many production credits is a six-week number one country hit, That's What I Love About Sunday, Craig Morgan, which my good buddy Mark Normore wrote, which is one of the most played country songs. It was the most played country song of 2005. Phil O'Donnell, welcome to The Climb.
Hey, Phil.
Hey, you guys. Good to see you all. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for saying yes.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for doing this again. We took a failed attempt at this like a year ago.
Yeah, we did.
And we couldn't get the tech stuff worked out. So thank you for coming back on and giving us another shot.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
That's right.
Look at this, is persistence.
God wanted us to be here today. He let everything work. So
all right.
Exactly.
All right. Well, let's get to it, shall we?
Yes.
Yeah.
And hey, once again, Phil, no guardrails here for country music or anything like that. You can go to any genre you want. So
yeah.
This song title is, I believe, I want to say it's the first song title we've ever used from climber Jesse St. Christopher.
I think so.
Jesse.
Hey,
Jesse.
And there's two I can use here. I'm going back and forth on one. Let's go with
Pick one. We can always use the other one later.
That's right.
Just don't say it.
Let's go with back in the day.
All right. Back in the day.
Back in the day. So my hot take on this is, I don't know that I've heard a song title like this before, but this is super cliche saying.
Yeah.
But I think what I like about it is that, and by the way, Phil, like, we can add anything to the beginning of this title or add anything to the end of this title to switch around the meanings. You have complete artistic license, carte blanche, do whatever you need to do. But I think there's a lot of different ways that this could be spun because of what we'll add in front of it or what we'll add on the end of it. It seems, it's one of those where it just seems like if I was a publisher, I'd be like, oh God, this is going to be so trite and so cliche. But this, so here's the opportunity for an ambush, I think, right? Like, it's up to us to really come up with something like a really cool idea.
So, all right. So thank you, Jesse, for sending it in. It is. That's the first thing I think is like, oh, well, this is a phrase I've heard 1,000 times. So there's got to be like 5,000 songs out there right now. If I pulled up my Spotify or whatever and looked for that title, it's probably out there a lot. And most of them are probably just about country songs about Grandpa told me about the good old days, but not as good as Grandpa told me about the good old days. So that's the first thing I think of is just, yeah, back in the day, you know, country boy kind of looking back on his, you know, growing up kind of thing and maybe lamenting that, which I would want to avoid if I'm just writing the song. I'd want to go for something a little more interesting or a little more unexpected on that.
Yeah.
But
oh, there is a million. I didn't even look at this. Oh, my God. Christina Aguilera, Mac Miller, Ahmad.
Yeah, there are a bunch of them, I bet. Back in the day. Okay, what about, and I'm just throwing, this is all the thing. This is the whole Dare to Suck thing, Philbilly. So, you know, she took me back in the day. If you spin that, add stuff to the beginning or their end, you know, she used to take me back in the day. Like, she's not taking me back anymore. So back in the day, yeah, I used to kind of run around a little crazy. I used to do this stuff.
Oh, I love that.
She used to take me back in the day, but, you know, letting you know that she's not doing that anymore. She ain't putting it up. Ain't putting up with
these days. I'm sleeping. I'm sleeping in my car.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. She would take me back in the day before the nights turned into whatever, you know, before the night I didn't come home, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the day night kind of thing. She would take me back in the day.
I mean, you know, with something you could start that out. Okay. So this kind of feels like a little, it could be tongue in cheek, right? This idea that you're on. But if you started out super dark, like these days I'm sleeping in my car one block down from the homeless community or something, you know what I mean? And it's just like, oh, it sounds like it's going to be heavy. And then all of a sudden it's, you know, you bring it around to, she used to take me back in the day.
Yeah. Was it like, you know, I got mad and left last night, but I'll come dragging back in the day. I'll come crawling back in the day. You know, there's that kind of thing, like come crawling back in the day, or she kicked me out last night, but she'll take me back in the day.
I like that.
So it's a way to like twist that title where it's not just the cliche of, oh, back in the day, it, you know, this is how we used to run.
Yeah, I think we avoid that at all costs, right? Like that.
I would, unless like you're in the room and the artist has their record deal and they just really want to write about their hometown childhood, then you're like, of course, that's brilliant, right?
I love this title.
Unless Phil says no, because Phil has a lot more cuts than me, in which case I'm here to learn. But
to be honest, it takes me an hour and a half to watch 60 minutes. So I usually drink 2 cups of coffee just stewing about a title and all the wrong ways to do it. And that's my take on it is, it's like, I usually just pry open, well, we could do it this way. And then you could go before, what was it? When did they kick Jesus out of school? 1962 or something, you know?
Yeah.
And then you think of back in the day before 1972, when birth control was a pill. There was nothing else, you know? I mean, there's a lot of the way the world has changed, which are big world-changing things, which kind of led to a lot of the problem that the world is in right now, what we're accepting and how complacent the world is.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know, the saying, you know, we've all heard it in songs. It's safe to leave your doors unlocked at night. You can walk the streets. And back in the day, the nights were safe to walk on the streets. You know, back in the day, love lasted forever.
Right.
Forever didn't have an end, you know. And you said, I do, you did. And you said, I do before you did back in the day.
Yeah.
A lot of fans
forever didn't have an end. That's another. Write that one down. That's good.
But I just think we just, it would, you know, This sounds like something to do it where it would be really something thick and you know, to stand the test of time that songs do is you just have to commit 2 or 3 days to really digging in and writing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, you know, nights weren't so dark back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, or things weren't so dark back in the day.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
That's cool. How about this? You could go heavy like that, and that would be, now you're looking at the DNA for Grammy material and Song of the Year and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. What about, I remember being flabbergasted hearing when Johnny Cash first came out, everybody said he wasn't country.
Right.
Yeah.
And now he's a country icon, right? Mm-hmm. It just being sort of interesting on how things change.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But they also stay the same, that kind of a thing. Like back in the day, he did this, but now they're this. You know, I remember when Johnny Cash wasn't country.
Yeah. I mean, it could be kind of an interesting angle on that to talk about how some things have changed for the better.
Yeah,
sure.
Back in the day, I mean, we've had a black president. Back in the day, that wasn't possible. Mm. Or back in the day, you know, there's certain things that you could talk about. Yeah, Johnny Cash, Elvis was booed off stage, whatever. It's like, some things we come around on.
Elvis and Jesus were king.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think that could be interesting back in the day. Like, yeah, there's some things that are better today. Now, there's a whole lot of things that are worse, but that would be interesting to talk about how some things have gotten better.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, because that would be, I would not expect that.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. And one thing, Phil, that you mentioned too, that I want to highlight for people is, yeah, on these episodes, normally we just start throwing stuff out, like throwing it fast and mm-hmm. and kind of furious and just brainstorming because, you know, dead air doesn't make for a good podcast.
Yeah.
But what you said is you'll be 2 cups of coffee in and still chewing on it. And I think that's important to highlight that co-writes don't always go like the podcast does on these episodes. Like, you got to go at your pace to get what you got to get.
Yeah.
And so I think that, I'm glad you mentioned that because we don't want to give the false impression that every co-write is just like crackhead volleyball where the ball's just bouncing like crazy. So,
and I've been put in rooms in the last 4 or 5 years where they put a mic out
mm-hmm.
and they just want us to fill it up with just thoughtless stuff and probably not cutting anything. But if you listen to some things and the way they come out and they hit number one, you go, okay, they put 10 minutes into that. Or I go, dang, I think my little 4-year-old granddaughter might have wrote that. I didn't really even know she was writing, but dang. More recent hit than I got. But it's very true that a lot of stuff is just first layer is what you're talking about. And I wrote songs to the hum of a bus motor going down the road that are to that hum is in the work tape, but the artist was no, and you're wanting to roll and he's wanting to roll through it, wanting to snap it, and wanting to keep moving, because they lose momentum when things get quiet, and they, you know, their ADDs are worse than our ADDs who sit in a room and grind every day. They want it to be moving and flowing. That's what some of those things where they stick up a beat mm-hmm. and open them with a 4-bar, they lock you into a 4-bar chord pattern for the whole song. So you're locked in, compressed in a box, and you got to write in that box that day, which is a different way of learning to write. Where as an older guy, my heroes, Bob McDill, Kerry Kirk mm-hmm. Phillips, these guys that, like, you know, Wiseman and the Tim Nichols and the Jeffrey Steeles and these guys that just have such rich lyric, no fat in them, and they combed over them and combed over them. They say Bob McDill would come in and comb over one for a week every day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like he'd write Monday through Thursday and work tape on Friday.
Yes, over it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, depending on the atmosphere and the weather of the room and the place, I can gear myself to doing that, but I already know I'm going to have a cat litter song, box song. You know, I'm going to drag it in the sandbox. I'm going to cover it up and hope nobody digs it out ever. So.
Hey, Pantheon listeners. Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these 3 EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycom order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
But no, I think Back in the Day is a valid title. I mean, honestly, I just think, you know, I mean, think of an old soldier talking back in the day on the front line. Mm-hmm. You know, we were the, you know, back in the day on the front porch. I don't know. All kinds of things. You know, I mean, the front porch was a school back in the day. You know, you would school, you'd learn stuff there about life that you wouldn't learn in school back in the day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like the whole front back thing. Like, is there not, I don't want to say listicle because that's the wrong thing, but you mentioned too right there, like the front porch was the school back in the day. The front line was the blah, blah back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The front runner was the, you know, but like, what else can we put that? That would be an interesting way to put it too.
Yeah. A lot of ways. We just barely got Pandora's box that you haven't even got the top up yet.
That's right.
Right. That's right. And interesting of, you mentioned the different characters, almost a conversation like somebody's complaining about, oh, it was so much better back in the day because, you know, da, da, da. And then another guy was like, back in the day, I was on the front lines.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a choice, right?
You know, I was in Vietnam. I was in whatever. Like, so it would be kind of interesting of going, well, you know, there was good and bad at all times.
Yeah. I can remember talking to a soldier, speaking of that, I remember talking to this real old man. He was about 88 in probably 1984. Somewhere around there, might have been a little later, but it was in the upper 80s, and I just was kind of calming down, kind of grabbing into life and stuff, and noticing stuff, and respecting people and stuff. And I said to this guy, it was like November 11th, and I said, "Man, I said I sure thank you for serving our country and fighting for us." He said, "Son," he said, "you need to know, I was not fighting for this country. I was fighting for my ass."
Wow.
And I thought, you know, that one day I'm going to try to use that thought, because a lot of those guys, we were the last thing on their mind. They were just, it was savage times, and they were just back in the day, they were fighting for their life.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And then you think about the old Gunsmoke episodes and stuff like that, about what it really was like. You know, horses were trucks back in the day.
Yeah,
you know, all kinds of cowboy songs and stuff that you could.
Oh, I'm thinking of the Clint Eastwood movie Unforgiven, and how they put the real spin on the
gunfighter kind of thing.
The gunfighter, not what's the word I'm looking for, like the persona of it. Like he was a much bigger. He was a persona meant for books and all this, but he was just miserable about it and hated it. And you know, that's interesting.
Yeah,
yeah.
To put a reality spin on it.
Yeah. There's a lot of ways to do it. I like it. It's interesting, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of my ways that mean something to me are not commercial at all. You know, the kids, they don't want to hear it, you know, which is fine with me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, people these days can, Payne and I went this week, Tuesday night, to the Ryman to see Ian Munsick, and he filled the place, and he's never had a radio hit. He's built a following from working.
Oh, that's cool.
And he does songs that mean something to me and a lot of integrity. And some of it's kind of silly.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just thinking about how music now, for the longest time, we were trying to write a radio hit and something commercial in 2.5 minutes or 2 minutes and 45 seconds or something. But anymore, even though our streaming does not pay much for doing this, we still enjoy doing it and we still make a living, you know, doing it.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I mean, gosh, we had 9.2. If someone heard our song, had our song, we made 9.2 cents somewhere between the record and the publishers. Now it's 0.00003 cents.
Right, yeah.
That's right. That's right.
But back in the day, these people had to pay for this music.
I know, yeah. Yeah, Ian's stuff is good. It's White Buffalo is the record I recommend to anyone.
Yeah, awesome.
You know, I was thinking too, back in the day, like just trying to flip it like in a different genre, what it might mean, like a Southern gospel thing might be like a back in the day before I saw the light.
Yeah.
Or a faith country kind of thing. Yeah, back in the day, you know, I was a little more of a hellion.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day before I saw the light. So kind of playing off the day and light kind of thing.
Sure.
Could be a thing for more of a Southern or faith country.
I was in the dark back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah, I was living in the dark back in the day.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that just happened.
So that could be cool. Back in the day.
Hey, what about springboarding off of that idea?
Mm-hmm.
What about super positivity? You know, helping somebody get through something, right?
Yeah.
And maybe it's a conversation with a friend who's having a really hard time trying to struggle with something, and you're reminding them about, you know, stuff in the Bible back in the day, right? The trials of Job, like Jesus Christ getting crucified.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so it's like, hey, you know what? You're having a hard time, but you can get through it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're going through it.
Yeah. It's almost like, you know, we're still back in the day, you know, like we're still like, if you're doing like the Bible thing of, hey, God is, he's on his throne. He's faithful. He loves you. You know, you can read the book back in the day, but guess what? We're still back in the day. Like that has not changed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if there's a way to come back to it that way.
How you talking?
To, yeah, keep it current, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like those aren't just the good old days. And I was thinking too of a, it's funny because I was trying to think of a way of like, how are we still back in the day? Or, hey, we've come back.
Back in the day.
Almost to back in the day. If there's a way to do that of like, kind of like these are the good old days.
Well, how about this? I mean, just on a current note, I didn't watch it, but did Cole Swindell win Song of the Year for freaking Heads Carolina?
Yeah.
So you got that. And then like, look at all the car makers coming out with all the new cars are looking like retro cars.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get back to back in the day.
Trying to get back to back in the day. That's cool. Trying to get back to back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just trying to get back to back in the day. It could be that, you know, the midlife crisis kind of thing, man. I'm trying to work out more and eat right, so I have more energy. I'm trying to get back to back in the day. Or girl, let's get back to back in the day. Like if you've been in this relationship, which, okay, if you've been in a relationship a while and you're trying to kind of rekindle, the honeymoon phase is kind of over, which puts it in an older spot, which may not be as current for the young bucks on radio. It's more of a middle-aged song, but trying to get back to back in the day.
Yeah.
So it could be a relationship, or it could just be, like you said, Johnny, like life. Everyone's trying to get back to back in the day.
I like what y'all said, too, about our future is headed back in the day. You know, I mean, our future, like you said, they're doing all these retro refrigerators and cars and...
Mm-hmm.
On bell bottoms are back, and you know, and all that, you know, it's like, yeah.
Oh, how about, okay, so you just said bell bottoms, it made me think of fashion and music.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are cyclical.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like wanting to get back to back in the day, like, or when are we going to get back to back in the day again?
Yeah.
Because bell bottoms came back around, and this came back around, and that came back around.
Yeah.
And that's interesting.
Yeah. Let's get back to back in the day. If it is the, hey, let's get back to back in the day, you know, let's make our handshake and our word mean something again.
Mm.
These things that we think of from back in the day, hey, let's bring it back. Let's bring back some back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, make it kind of that anthem thing of let's stand up, do what's right.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one. That might be my favorite one so far.
That might
like,
be. Let's bring back some back in the day.
Let's bring back some back in
like
the
just, day. If you think of that as back in the day, it doesn't mean it has to stay that way. So that can be pretty cool.
We kneel for Japan to fly. Back in the day.
I'm liking that one. That feels pretty good because it feels universal for like a commercial point of view. It feels very broad and a young guy could sing it or a young girl could sing it. And
mm-hmm.
It's got the anthem kind of thing, meaningful.
You know, it could be down the road of Cherry Bomb.
Yeah.
Right. From John Cougar Mellencamp.
Oh.
Because that's when smoke was a smoke and grooving was grooving.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's all about just like the whole, it could be very nostalgic on that. But yeah, let's bring back when there was a handshake, you know, and you looked something in the eye and it meant something.
Yeah.
And your word meant something.
Yeah. Grow some groceries, man.
Yeah.
Like grow your garden. You know, it could be that kind of stuff too. And
yeah,
follow through on what you say. You go get some dirt on your hands. And
a like was a note that a girl passed you in class.
Yeah.
And a comment was something you made in a group of people. So there was right. Repercussions if you spoke out of class. You know what I mean?
Right,
if
yeah.
I kind of like, that could be very interesting. It could be like a biopic of life today where we just have so many people that are able to sort of express their minds without any fear of.
Yeah, it's the keyboard warrior.
Without any social pressure, right, to getting your ass kicked if you say something without thinking about it first. Let's just say that.
Yeah, the anonymous basement keyboard warrior.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but even like you talk about the Mellencamp cherry bomb, it could also be like more kind of a groove and a lighter thing than, hey, let's make our word mean something again and grow your own groceries. It could even be, let's put on some old school music. Let's take it old school tonight.
Yeah.
Right? Let's like we did in high school.
Oh, let's tonight we're going to take it back to back in the day.
Yeah, tonight. Yeah, let's get back to back in the day, or let's bring back a little back in the day. Like, let's just go hang out by the river and drink out of coolers, act like we're 19, sneaking beers and kick on some old school.
Yeah, man, I like that. Yeah,
depending on the age of the singer, like some old school Garth and some whatever, you know, and down by the golf shack and the river.
Hey, it gives, you know what, that line, that angle there gives any sort of newer artist the ability to connect with their brand with older brand names, right? Like, you could talk about Haggard and like, let's get back to, you know, you could start naming off some song titles and I want to do this and
yeah,
I want to kiss you to this song and I want to dance to that song and I want to sit by the river with this song or whatever.
Yeah, let's, you know, girl, let's kind of sneak around like we don't have these rings on our fingers, you know, let's kind of passionate and a little forbidden and kind of, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
When your daddy wasn't sure. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, when you're, yeah. Let's bring back a little back in the day. That could be. So it's interesting. Like, there's so many layers of that you could go as far as depth, anything from the really shallow, hey, let's just go, you know, when we thought we were cool because we'd smoke a cigar, you know, we'd have these really cheap Swisher sweets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Around a campfire and thought we were cool. And whatever, to like, let's make our word mean something again. And
amen. That's good.
You know, go to church this Sunday and whatever. So I love that. And part of that for me, like being in the room with an, if I'm writing with an artist, would be like, what are you feeling? Like, what are you?
Yeah.
Because I think all those are valid.
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. So there's some stuff on that. See, Jesse, that's why we do this. Because it's gone from like, I don't know, to like, ooh. Ooh,
maybe hey. We can write the best back in the day of all.
Exactly.
The
yeah. That's why they play the game, right? That's why you show up.
That's right.
That's right. There was three songs called Fire. I think they both were number one. Or all three were number ones, right?
Well, heck, just thinking that, you know, we mentioned George Strait on the intro, but George had cut two songs called She'll Leave You With a Smile.
Yep.
One, Odie Blackman.
Yep.
Who I know
he really?
Johnny wrote. And then another one, I can't remember which one was a single, but the second one he cut with the same title he singled and went number one, She'll Leave You With a Smile. So, yeah.
And that was Odie's song, right?
I can't remember if Odie's was a single or not, but
I think it was a single.
I just remember Odie wrote one of them. So
I'm pretty sure that was a single.
Okay. But yeah, I was like, what?
He, I know who he wrote that about. Nope.
There we go. All right. What else are we doing? Anything else on this? That might be.
I think we got some good looks at it.
Might want to go out riding on top here. I feel good about it so far.
Yeah.
You got anything else you want to throw in there, Phil?
No, I think we're good. Yeah.
All right.
Phil, where can our audience connect with you?
Well, being a grandfather of 11.
Whoa. Congrats.
Thank you very much. I probably should, and I'm probably missing out on things, but we've been just very thankful for music. And electricity. Pam retired from electric.
Oh.
And we thank God every day, several times a day, for electricity and music. It's been good to us, but I don't do socials.
Okay.
I think you got a Facebook page so that we can go to church in 2020. I mean, stay home and go to church.
Yeah.
But we don't, you know, I have messages sometimes to be 3-4 months before she checks and she'll say, hey, your cousin from wherever contacted you and sent you something. Oh, well, that's nice, you know. And then I realized that it was 3-4 months ago. Just tell them this or whatever, you know. But
sure.
You know, I've got an email, I've got a phone number, but
we don't need to give those out, brother.
Well, yeah, we're not giving those.
How about this? What can we plug for you? Like, are you producing anybody right now? What's going on?
I'm very thankful. Yeah, I'm doing some things. Craig Morgan's doing a new record. Him and Gary LaVox had Gary over here the other day. They re-recorded That's What I Love About Sunday, and I don't think Mark knows yet, but he might.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we're doing a duos project. He did a song that Craig wrote, a song with Billy Dean that he cut with somebody, a little guy that's doing okay. Luke Combs sang on it with him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's.
Blake is doing something with him. And let me see who else. I believe maybe some new little girl named Lainey Wilson's doing a song with them. And I think of who else is on this. Jelly Roll's going to be on this project. And there's just we're just like, when you live long enough to do this, where it's like so many of these songs, people haven't heard them. And another thing I'm excited about is old Daryl Worley, him and Wynn rewrote Have You Forgotten to Have We Forgotten.
Oh, wow.
We've been in the studio doing that. And that project's coming out in July, doing some stuff with that.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Of course, the Cowboy record with Ronnie Dunn. We've been writing songs for a couple of years and looking for songs, and we're wrapping that up. And just a few things like that. That's pretty exciting.
That's a pretty happening list there, my friend.
That's pretty cool.
It don't take much to keep me busy these days, but I'm very
Well, Phil, thank you so much for saying yes.
Yeah, man.
We really, really appreciate it. Hope you had a good time.
It's good.
And that takes us to the end of another killer song title challenge, guys. Send in your titles, as many as you want. Just please don't send me duplicates to info@daredevilproduction.com. This podcast exists because we want you to win. So keep on climbing.
And we'll see you at the top.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.